Okay, so last week we explored the basic outline of, like I said, is one of the most difficult categories in halacha, which is psikat halacha b'shara tchak. The notion that, right, this is a given in psak, that under certain circumstances you're allowed to paskin in a way that you normally wouldn't because of a external goal, right? Again, with all the qualifications, that what is a shas hadchak is defined by the halachic system, and how exactly you define it, at least in certain circumstances, and it depends on how unsure you are, but there is such a category where, look, pachor yoter, what you're doing, is you're saying, while the ideal halachic question you should enter, trying to understand the sugya, what's most probable, right, what's most plausible, without trying to get to a specific goal, right, you're not trying to draw the target around where the arrow has already landed. There are certain times in halacha that we try as best we can to draw the target around, right, where the arrow already is, right? Meaning we have a goal, and I mentioned, right, we do this for sure, right? In agunos, we do this all the time, right? We do it b'makom aguniku barabana, right? And the minhag poskim l'dorei doros has been to try to find kulos as much as possible in agunos. We do this by mamzerim. Right, we try as much as possible. Ravadia was very proud of himself that he never actually passed on someone who was a mamzer. Adkidei kach that I once heard someone ask Rav Shechter, who was Rav Shechter, that he knew that someone was a mamzer. Like he wanted to know if he had to say anything. Like even lechatchila to try to be ma'aleh l'diyun. And the way I heard it was Rav Shechter told him, don't even bother, because someone will find it. I tell you, like, chazaka, like, it doesn't happen. Like, people will find a way out of it, right? Then we'll be mevatel kedushin, they'll do whatever they need to do, they'll be mevatel something, right? You know, there are all types of areas in halacha where you see it, mamish, all the time, right? Where you see poskim bending over backwards to look for kulot. And again, what justifies that? So we talked about it a little bit, right? Is it because of multiple truth theory? Maybe yes, maybe no, right? Is it because there's multiple truths in halacha? Not necessarily, right? It may, at some level, make it easier philosophically to say that you're allowed to rely on minority positions if there are multiple truths available in Shamayim. Such as Shini, it might not, right? Because you could say, that's very nice, it's in Shamayim, but, you know, al-aretz, something's nifsak, al-lachat's nifsak. It may just be based on the reality that people make decisions, and they're willing to enter into risks when the pressure is great enough, and halacha is no different. But as radical as psikat halacha b'shat halachak is, and it really is, and again, you need, for full analysis, you need to go through in every circumstance to really, really understand it. You need to understand every shas halachak, what counts. Now, I should just know, because someone emailed me about this last week, and I had to clarify it for him. There is another type of psikat halacha b'shat halachak, which is really misnamed. Which is what the Rama writes in his Sefer Torah Sa'ola. He says, sometimes we're really pulling the wool over your eyes. Right? Sometimes when it looks like we're pulling out like a magic hat there, we're really not. So he says, whenever I say that something's mutter l'kavod Shabbos, I'm lying to you. What it really means is that it's mutter l'gamrei. But there are people who are machmir, so the minhag is to be machmir. But I don't think it's true. I think it's sheker. Not sheker. I think it's wrong. Right? But the minhag is to be machmir. But under certain circumstances, right, I resort to Ikar HaDin. But Balabatim, it's hard to explain that to them. It's hard to explain why if something's really mutter, sometimes I say it's Aser. And therefore, we have all these catchphrases that poskim throw around that aren't real, right? like Lishkava Shabbos, because then it makes the Balabatim happy. Because I tell them, what?
Who says?
The Ramah. Like, you know, Ramosha Israelis, most important Ashkenazi posek, that Rama. Now, by the way, that statement is very telling. First of all, it's telling for a lot of reasons, but
where does it bring this down by?
Torah Sa'ola. Why is it, now for me, the reason it's most telling is because it shows such a great shift between the way halacha was classically written and the way it's written in the 20th century, 21st century at this point, right? But 20th century also, you see it already, which is, right, what?
They wrote what they meant.
What?
Oh, back no, then they just
no, they didn't write what they meant. They didn't write what they meant.
What? Back in the Rama was in the first time?
No, I'm saying from the Ramah to now.
Oh, yeah, I mean back then.
No, I'm saying between the Ramah and now, what's the most different? This is what strikes me.
Now we write what we mean.
No. But why? There's something more to it. The Ramah didn't expect Balabatim to be reading Halachic Svarim.
Right.
Right. Meaning, maybe Shulchan Aruch. Right. Hence, his Hagos and the Ramah, he's telling you, are deceptive. Right. Meaning, they're written for a balabas to understand, even if it's not really true. But Torah Sa'ola, which is the complicated background to the halachic issues, he doesn't expect laity to read. Right. And therefore, he can, you know, b'chofshi, he can tell you, right, he's lying. Whatever. Kilu. Right, I was lying. Okay? But whatever it is. Again, you have this in the halacha also. Halacha Beit Marin came, right, where the halacha really is X, but we don't, right, we don't publicize that. Right? Maariv Chiyus has extensive discussions of halacha Beit Marin came.
It's
the Gemara. Halacha Beit Marin came. But what does it mean? And that's one of the rayos of politics being part of psak. Right? Meaning politics, again, in the sense of policy. Right? That what we say is not necessarily the halacha. It's what we think is necessary for the best overall religious observance of the community, even if that means...
Can you get into a lot of negative knock means with this?
What?
Can't you get into a lot of negative knock means with this?
Avada?
You said it says mutter for Kavod Shabbos, and you think it's nisser, and it's not Kavod Shabbos, you might override it for a different nisser.
You might. Right? But he says it's safer, because... But what's all the expectation? The expectation is that he thinks people are going to the rabbis. And so Ramah is telling you, no, this is what I tell people. This is how we... You know, look, I'm going to tell you a story which might bother you, right? It sort of bothers me, but it also sort of doesn't bother me. Right? Ari Lam, I might have told you this already. Ari Lam once told me, I think I told you this. Ari Lam once told me that he was with his grandfather, Rabbi Lam, now they're both Rabbi Lam, whatever, right? Norman Lam, right? And a woman came to him from her shul and said, Rabbi, I dropped my dairy spoon in my fleshik sink. What do I do? That was it. Like, not no water, none of this. Like, it fell in. What's the halacha? No! Like, nothing. Gloom, gloom, gloom. What's the halacha?
It's fine.
It's fine. Nothing. You do nothing. So, Lam gives her, says, I think you should take it, and you should put it, you should take a, she gave a whole procedure. Like, you should take a flower pot and stick in the dirt, you know, like, all the, one of those things. One of those. And Ari said, he turned to his grandfather, he said, what are you doing? And he said, look, Ari, I know this woman forever. She, if I tell her it is mutter, I'm telling you she's not going to believe me. She's going to throw it out. She's not going to believe me. She's not going to believe me. If I give her some procedure, she'll do it, and she won't throw it out. So if I tell her the truth, right, what'll become out? The wrong thing. Right, sheker. Right, if I tell her it's kosher, she won't believe me, right, and she'll throw it out. So in order to make sure that she doesn't throw it out and have a hefsid that's totally unnecessary logically, I have to come up with something. I don't know what it was exactly, right? It was like, you know, one of these, stick it, whatever, wash it this way, that, whatever it is. What?
If he says much, or she doesn't believe him, and she goes, that's not his problem. He can't.
No, it is, because the job of a, and this is my point, I've said this before and I'll say it again, the job of a posek is not just to offer an opinion. A rabbi, a posek, is also supposed to try to make sure that the correct halachic result is implemented.
Oh, there's no answer about throwing out a spoon. She just wastes.
Not answer, but it.
What?
What do you mean? The job of posek is to care that the halach, right, halach is implemented, that people don't lose out, right, unnecessarily, right? Halacha. No. This is why you shouldn't be a shul rabbi, Ellie. Okay?
I'll never be a shul rabbi.
I know. Thank the good Lord, okay? Like, no, Ellie, halacha isn't just, right? The job of a rav is not only to issue opinions, right? It's to ensure that the right halachic actions are taken, right? If somebody, you don't want somebody's a posek who talks in a monotone and can't inspire anybody, because the average person... Right, the average person. No, for the average person, right? The average person that you want interacting with people about halacha is not someone who can just issue information in a way that makes people say, "That's very nice," right? The average person, secret, right? The average person is not 100% intellectual. All they want is the answer, and whatever you say, they'll do. Right? Look, tells from an Abdav Arshia Gidul Chayaminu Small. It's not the average person, right? Look. I know, I have this conversation with Ora, right? Ora gets even more annoyed than I do at all these, like, people who talk about the Isser Negiyah. And they talk for, like, hours about how to improve your marriage and this and that. And Ora's like, you do it because it's the halacha. What else do you want from my life? Right? It's Usser. Right? It's an Isser D'Oraisa, according to many Rishonim. Right? Zeu, done. Right? Elamai, the out for Ora, right? Who is a tzaddikas, Avada, right? Right? There's a reason I married her, fine, right? She's a tzaddikas. For her, usher's done, end of story, right? The average person, you tell them it's usher, they'll be like, they won't believe you, I don't care, right? So you have these people write all these inspirational books, right? Which drive me nuts, right? I can't, you know?
Those aren't so bad, because there's no halachic issue with those books.
My point is just, right? No, but sometimes it's Yotzei problems, right? Right, so for example, right, to give a different example, right, college teachers who are not particularly educated, sometimes, I'm saying not all, but people who are not, often will tell kalas, the chachma of Nida is based in Rabbi Meir, in Nida the Flavet Aleph, that every month the woman goes to the mikvah, and she comes back, and it's like, right, they're getting married again, she's like a kala, nichnas l'chupasa, and that's what makes a good marriage. That's your mayor in a Hanami. And then they'll say, and therefore, without that, right? I mentioned this in question and answer. Without that, you have a bad marriage. Or without that, hischadshus of a bad marriage. What happens? Women who could, I don't want to get into the question of birth control, but let's assume beheter are on birth control, right? Right? And can extend their period 3 months, which is totally normal. Right, totally normal, or whatever, they're an IUD and they don't have period for years. And there are mamish women who won't do it, even though there are good reasons to do it, because they were told by their college teacher there's a mitzvah to be a nid, without being a nida once a month, right? You'll have a bad marriage. It's like, no. What, Remeir thought that every woman who was pregnant had a bad marriage for 9 months, because she's not a nida for 9 months? Like, it's a shtiyot. Right? Like, he's giving a tama mitzvah. It doesn't tell you, there's no mitzvah to be a nida. Right? There's a mitzvah that if a woman is a nida, that she has to be parish mibayla. Right? You're not a mitzvah to become a nida once a month. Like, no one, lo ola al da shum adam, that a woman who's pregnant 2 weeks out of every month should separate herself from her husband. Right? Not to mention that Remeir is talking level doraisa when nida was 7 days, and because of the chumra de Rabzeir, we're talking 12 days, so there's no raya. Maybe Remeir wouldn't have said that about 12 days. I have no idea. Right? But like, you know, how in, you know, but people, you're right. But saying, you know, these svaras, really, it can lead to problems, right? But on the other hand, right? I mean, but on the other hand, it's important that the job of people who are involved in halacha is not just to convey information, right? It's to inspire, to convince people, right? It can cause problems. There has to be some sort of balance between the two.
Yeah, I don't understand. If the information they're gonna say is, I don't know where do I besides lie, but. Mistruths? Is that a better word? I don't know.
Yeah. Rama says, that's what he did.
Let's say
anytime
you teach a chumrah, and the halacha is actually mekel, it's a problem.
Unless you teach a chumrah.
What? Unless you teach a chumrah?
Okay.
You'll have hefset. You'll have hefset.
Because it might be nakmi where they do it, and they're doing an isser.
Is that not possible?
And then you're a low sasser on them because you told them it was the halacha, and they don't know better. If you told them this is the halacha or machmer, and they're misinterpreting, it can't be chosh, and every guy's misinterpreting my words, someone said. If I told him something that's wrong, I'm the one who's
again. Okay, so Ellie, the Rambam says, right, that the Yisra Baal Tosef is to tell someone that something's d'oraisa that's not. Right?
Oh, I'm talking about Tosef, sorry, I meant,
Baal Tosef?
No, something black.
What?
Lifnei Iver?
Yeah.
But Baal Tosef is a good example, right? Because the Rambam says it's an Yisra d'oraisa, to pretend that the Rabbanan is a d'oraisa.
Yes.
The Maharil says that an Asmachta is a derabanan, which Chazal attached to a pasuk, so that people would think it was doraisa and treat it seriously. Right. So what the Rambam thought is Baal Tosef, the Maharil says is basically every asmachta.
Who's the Maharil?
What?
Who's the Maharil?
Maharil is one of the leading Ashkenazi poskim that the Rambam bases himself on.
Correct.
Like the Rambam quotes him left, right, and center. He's like one of the fathers of Minhagi Ashkenaz. Like there's like those three like Sifrei Minhagim, like Maharil, Marivayel, things like that. Before the Rambam, right? Before the Rambam quotes all the time. That's one of them. Mm-hmm. Right? We're talking, right? My point is, right, we shifted a bit issue there, but it's something else we can talk about. It's a topic I like talking about, right? The point is that, of this section, is that psak in a chanami is issuing a halachic decision. But the job of a posek, of a rav, is not just to issue information, right, but it's to try to make sure that the truth or the best outcome actually happens, right? He's also a manig. He's also a leader, Right? He actually is responsible for what happens.
That's fine, but I honestly don't understand how you can do it with the wrong halacha.
Why not?
I mean, what's
the wrong halacha? The Rama says... What? Nobody, probably not, because the average person... Because what's the point? The Rama says the average Balabas is not opening up Torah Sa'olah. Right? He's coming to the rabbi. The Rama is telling you, you know what you should tell him? It's Kavod Shabbos. Because what is going to happen? You're going to tell... How many people in the time of the Rama were educated enough that you could they would come to the Rama and he'd say, oh, really, it's mutter, but the minhag is machmir out of deference to certain poskim. But if it's Erev Shabbos and there's a counterweight, so now I tell you to rely on Ikra Din, but tomorrow, even though I'm telling you it's mamish mutter, make Ikra Din, I don't want you to do it because there's no pressure. Or the person will say, is it mutter or is it aser? And he'll say, it's mutter. Okay, so I'll do it tomorrow. I don't want you to do it tomorrow. Right? I want you, if possible, to show deference to other poskim. But you said it's mutter. So Rama says it's called a shorthand. Right? Kavod Shabbos. Is it a lie? It's not a lie. It's not a full truth. Right? He's saying, like, Kavod Shabbos is, it's shorthand for, really it's mutter, but we short deference to poskim or machmir, but it indicates when there is a counter pressure, which is not a real pressure.
Kavod Shabbos.
Right? Yeah, but it's not a real halakhic category. That's what he's saying. Right? Kavod Shabbos isn't. That's what his point is. Kavod Shabbos isn't... Correct. Look, I got into machlokas once on this with the right clapper. That, the one who came on Thursday. Because there had been a case, right, that Dov Limzer had published, like, this thing about how he was makil on Shabbos and some shayla on a chulent because of Kavod Shabbos and hefsid or something like that. Right? And Rai Clapper had written back to him. I usually would agree with Rai Clapper over Dov Lenzer. That would usually happen. In this particular case, it didn't. And Rai Clapper had said, I don't know if it's right, right? Because what is, you know, it was like a wealthy family in Riverdale. Like, what, you're losing one shulent? Like, is it hefsid? But I said back to him, I said, what do you mean? The Rama says that when he says it's mutter l'kavod Shabbos, it's not really hefsid. Right, really, it just means it's mutter b'chlal. Right, it's just that, right? We normally show deference, but you're not looking for a full-fledged hefsid merubah that counts, you know, in the sugya of hefsid merubah. Right, the Rama tells you that sometimes when we call it quote-unquote hefsid, what we really mean is that it's really, really mutter. Right, but, right, the minhag gets to be machmir unless there's some sort of counter-pressure, which isn't even a counter-pressure. Right? So, how do we get into this? So, right, so I said... So Akira, so sometimes, now, what Eli's know, that type of quote-unquote psikat halacha b'sharat chak doesn't pose philosophical problems in terms of nature of psak, right? You're not saying that I'm doing what's less likely. You're saying I'm doing what's more likely, right? Right? That, I think, all of you would agree, doesn't cause particular stress, right? Meaning, what the Rama is saying, sometimes shasat chak tells me that I will rely on what I think is actually correct. Right, rather than piling on chumras. Right? That doesn't cause philosophical problems. It causes a different problem, which is, why is it legitimate for us to talk this way? Can you turn off the heat? Now it's like really hot in here.
I don't think
if you're cold again, you can turn it back on. But right, so, what?
I don't think it's correct to say a chumra is a halacha.
Why not? And again, so that got into the second point. No, so that got into our second point, which is that Eli would make a bad shul rabbi because Eli thinks that the job of a poseg is only to issue information, right, rather than to actually try to implement the proper result. And sometimes that requires not being totally open.
Now,
halacha by norm came. Now, listen, Eli, I agree with you.
You might have
been that. Oh, that's
just before. Yeah, I'll say it. Halacha by norm came. This is the halacha, and we don't tell people.
That's different than saying something that's not the halacha.
No, that's what do you think it is?
No, but Amar came, he's going to teach it.
No.
Halacha and Amar came means it's mutter, and we say usser.
But not halacha kumra.
I have the same question than Masa.
Okay, it's a Gemara.
Answer the question, it wasn't a...
Okay, no. So I'll be... Now, look, one of the things I think is interesting to ask, I think it's undeniable that the post can do this, and that I also understand why they do it. The interesting question is, for me, anyways, you can disagree, is whether this makes sense in a world where people are educated. Right? One. And two, that people have access to information, they'll know you're lying. Right? Or not telling them the whole truth. Right? Does it become counterproductive? Right? Meaning, realistically, it's not going to lead to nafkaminas it's not going to lead to misapplication when the average Jew has no access to information, isn't educated, and next time the shaila comes up, it's going to ask the rabbi again. it becomes a problem when you're talking with people who have enough education that they might make the decision themselves, or they might Google it and discover that what you're saying is not the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, right? And that will undermine their faith in halachists, right? Which is a problem. But I don't think realistically, for the average person 500 years ago, they were now going to use that information. They were just going to ask the Shadle again.
You want to trim down the book?
Yes!
Or ask the book again?
No! Because the average person wasn't doing that. You're talking about a very text-based, educated society. That's not true 500 years ago.
The average person owned a Shulchan
Aruch. Yeah.
What?
I don't think the average person owned a Shulchan Aruch.
Yeah.
Oh, then who's he write it down for? So why didn't you write the law thing?
Because some people might look at it, but it wasn't like everybody had a copy in their house. They could just look up a quick reference. It wasn't like nowadays, right?
They're going to ask the rabbi anyways, write down the fall locks.
But I should just note, right, the fact that nowadays we can all turn in a book, right? You would think, oh, now everybody can look at a book, and therefore what? So now you should just tell the truth. I'll just look at the safer next time.
More an emotional issue,
right?
Than logical.
First of all, it's emotional more than logical. Second of all, if you actually read English halacha books, the fact that they're so accessible means that what happens in all of them?
They're
machmir on everything. They're more machmir on everything because they can't trust anybody, right? Right, the English is machmir, the Hebrew footnotes are makil, right? But again, what do you see? You see that phenomenon. That what does he think? He thinks his job is to make sure that people do the right thing. And he knows that if he tells the kulos to every person who's not a posek, that could be bad. So he puts it in the Hebrew, right? The person who can read the Hebrew, he can decide whether to use the kula, and everybody else might as well be safe, right? Being you see a... Okay. Now... Okay.
I think the footnote itself is...
Now that's okay. So that actually... That's an important thing to think about, and we can talk about it more if you want in future weeks. But even more disturbing than all this, at some level, is the topic that you guys want to look at now, which is Akira Dabramatara. That sometimes we go even farther. Right? Sometimes it's not an issue of poskening in a less likely way, or even a more likely way, and it's not an issue of twisting the truth to make sure that, you know... Things happen. Sometimes, straight up, this is the halacha. We don't want it to be the halacha, so we just don't do it, and that's okay. Right? That's about as, you know... Or in this case, we draw the target around the arrow, no matter what. It doesn't matter. Right? Even if it's wrong. Right? Keneged halacha. And you'll tell me, oh, that's heresy, you can't do it. Elamai, you can do it. Right? You absolutely can do it. It's a Gemara. It is one of the most dangerous Gemaras in Kala Torah Kula, for obvious reasons, as I've just said. But it is a Gemara in two places, or two main sugyas, really, in Yevamos and Brachos. And the Gemara asked as follows, incredulously, V'chi Bezdin Masin Lakar Dafim in HaTorah, is that possible that Bezdin could uproot the Torah? Shalach Le'Rav Chizda Le'Rabba B'Yad Rav Acha Barav Huna V'ein Bezdin Masin Lakar Dafim in HaTorah? What, you think they can't? Why not? Vatanya, it's a braisa. The Me'emas Adam Yorish is Ishto Ktana. When can a person inherit from his wife who is a Ktana? Beishamay Omrim, Ishitama Bekomasa, Shil Omrish Tichnas Lachupa, Rilazar Omrish Bishitibayel, Viyorsha, Umitamala, Vilcheles Begino Truma. So they give different ages, okay? Exact different stages. And at that stage, he inherits from her, he can become tummy for her, and she can eat truma. And she can eat truma because of him if he's a kohen. Right. Okay? So we're talking about a... so if you skip down... Go down 1, 2, 3. I'm just going to skip around. 1, 2, 3. Five lines down. The end. So Gemara says, "Ktani mias yorsha." Right. The case we're talking about is a case where she's not mida araisa married. Okay. And we say that the husband inherits, but it's not true. Right. Vamida araisa avua yarishla. Right. Yarishla mida araisa. Her father inherits. So how could the husband inherit? Isn't that Akira's Dover Minat Torah? So the Gemara answers. What? So the Gemara says no. Hefker best and hefker. No, that's not akiras tavanat Torah. That is monetary hefker best and hefker. Okay. So the first attempt is a monetary case, and the Gemara rejects it. So then the Gemara gives you another one. Tashma. This is after the ellipsis. Dam shenitma v'zark. Now, by the way, at this stage in the Gemara assumes that hefker best and hefker is distinct from akiras tavanat Torah. It's a different principle.
Right.
It's not clear by the time you get to the maskana that it remains true.
Okay, fine.
Tashma. Dam shenitma vizarku bishogeg. So dam of a carbon that becomes tame, and he did zrika by accident. Hurtsa. Right? He got kapara. It works. Bemezid, if he does it, bemezid lo hurtsa. The Gemara says, vahahacha dimidaraisa arsui marza maratza. Mida araisa, the blood, even after it's tame, is mechaper. Titanya al matzitz maratze, al adam al abasar val chel shenitma ben mishog ben memezet. Because the tzitz magics away the problems, right? And makes it that you're mechaper, anyways, ben mishog ben memezet, ben onus ben ratz, ben yach ben metzibur. Right? On purpose, not on purpose, yachitz, it doesn't matter. Va'amri rabbanan lo hurtza. But then the rabbanan say it is not maratze. So the Gemara says, how can you do that? Because what is that saying? It's not maratza, which means you have to bring another karban.
Yeah.
But you don't have to bring another karban, right? You don't have to bring another karban, right? And therefore, kahadar ma'ailin chulin la'azara. Right? If it's a karban chova, it's a karban chatas, you aren't allowed to. Remember, we did this in Kachim. You're not allowed to bring a voluntary karban. And there's an isser of bringing chulin la'azara.
Right.
So by saying that you don't get kapara, and you have to bring another one, you're encouraging someone to bring Chul Nazar, which is Nisr.
Right.
So how can you do that? So Amar Biosi Brachanina Milo Hurtsa Dika Amar Lahatir Basar Bachila Vol Bailim Niskaprubo. So he says it can't be. It can't be. It must be that what we mean is he isn't allowed to eat the meat. But in a Chanami, he gets Kapari and he doesn't allow to bring another karban because that would be Chul Nazara.
Never Chayav to eat the meat.
What?
Never Chayav to eat
the meat. That's what the Gemara says. So comes Akra Achilas Basar. What are you talking about? There's a mitzvah of eating the meat. Right? And you're telling him not to eat the meat. Uksiv, vachlos, amasher kupar bohem, lamecha konim, ochlim, ubailim, miskaprim. Or the kapara happens when the kohanim eat it. It's a mitzvah d'oraisa from mati to eat the karban. So Amar Lei, he says, shave vialtase shiny. He says, shave vialtase is different. Now, what does that mean?
They are allowed to be yogurt at the Torah.
So there's two ways of reading that. One is the way Eli says it, which is they're allowed to be ochre dover minat Torah as long as it's passive. The other one is
say passive is an ochre minat Torah, but I don't know what that means.
What? It's not ochre minat Torah, right? Shevi al tase is not akiras dover minat Torah. Akiras dover minat Torah would only be true if it's active. It's passive. It's not akiras dover minat Torah bichlal, right? It's just not an akira. Okay, hold those two readings in mind. So at this point, he doesn't like it. So Amr Lehi says. Boy, Lituzvach, Arel, Hazah, Ismail, Sadin, Batifzis, Kivse, Atzeres, Shofar, Lulav. I was going to ask you these million shilas, right? Right? We can't go through all of them, but some of them you should know what they mean.
Lulav.
Right? Lulav and Shofar, right? They, on Shabbos. Right? We don't do it. I was going to ask you all those, but now that you've said, Sheva al Tase, Lomakarhu, right? Right? Which sounds like it's not. Akir Zaman, Dara, Kulunami, Sheva al Tase, Ninhu. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Tashma. A love tishmaun, right? You have to listen to the Navi. Afilu omer lecha avor alachas mikol mitzvah shebetera. Even if he tells you to violate a mitzvah, kagon Eliyahu bar Karmel. Akol lefisha shmalo. Eliyahu at Ara Karmel was told to bring a karban bachutz, and we tell him
to do it.
So the Gemara says, shiny hasam dechsevi love tishmaun. He said, very nice, but that is a Navi, and it has a pasuk. Very good. So he says, "V'ligmar minei." Why don't we just learn from Eliyahu? Shmuel says, "Milgdar milsa shiny." Well,
anybody can be accurate. What do you learn?
Yes, that Bezdin could do it. He says, "Maybe not, because Migdar milsa shiny." He said that was particularly an egregious situation. We had to protect the Torah. Now, at that stage in the Gemara, what does that sound like? What is the Gemara's conclusion?
Protecting the Torah wasn't okay.
Yeah, even if.
Even if it's make a bama.
Even if it's an active violation of the Torah. Right?
Can you say that, like, Deir Raisa, he's allowed to, he means a mata Deir Raisa for protecting the Torah or whatever?
Mm.
Some sort of
Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's what it is, right? Something like that. And then the Gemara gives yet another case. Tashma bitl mevutal divrei Rebbe shem gamliel and yachal olavad lahosav al tanoim ken mavkoch bezin yafav v'achem yirazei vutal again shem mavkoch bezin kasherin eishes ish la'alma. So then the Gemara brings another case. The halacha is that once someone sends a shliach of get, he isn't allowed to be vatal the get because we're worried that it, right. So the Gemara says, how could that be? Midar Raisa, he's allowed to be mevatal the get, and you're saying that he can't be mevatal the get because Shimon ben Eliel says mavkoch bezin yafeh, meaning good, but
that's just endless derbanan.
What?
That's just endless
derbanan. No.
If you're mevatel, it's not
mevatel. It's not batel.
Yeah.
But it's not batel. The Gemara says, because otherwise, what koach do best in half? What do you mean, what koach do best in half? Because of that, the woman's debt works, even though her husband was mevatel, which works me daraisa. So the Gemara says, yeah. Man mekadesh, rabbanan mekadesh, vafkin rabbanan lekidushan. Right. Right? Whoever gets married al dasar rabbanan, whatever exactly that means, and therefore they can have kiddushin. Now again, that could either mean that Hafkas kiddushin is not a kirus davar min haTorah, and therefore it doesn't cause a problem, or it is a particular instance of a kirus davar min haTorah. So Amar le Ravina le Ravashi, hatenef tekadosh bekaspa. That makes sense if you're makadosh with money. We'll just assume, because then it hefker best in hefker. Kadosh bevia ma'ikel meimar. What about if they got married through bia? How could you uproot that? So the Gemara says, Shavye Rabbanan Levi Lasu Bilas Nus. Yeah, they just say, yeah, that was Nus. Too bad. It wasn't Kedusha. Okay. Tashma. Omer Elazar ben Yaakov Shamati Shebezdin Makin Vonten Shalom in HaTorah. I've heard that Bezdin is allowed to punish extra legally. Velo Lavar Al Divrei Torah Lasu Shagla Torah. Not to go against the Torah, but to protect it. There was someone who rode on a horse on Shabbos, which is a Isser Durabanan, and they stoned him. Not because he deserved it, because it was necessary for the time. There was a man who slept with his wife outside underneath a tree. And they came, brought him to Bezin, and they beat him. What Isser did he violate? Nothing. Nothing. Lo mivnei sheroi lekach, l'shashashvich lekach. Our answer is migdar milsa shiny.
The Isser is killing?
Yes. The Isser is murder. There we go.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes. Because he's not chayv misa, and you're killing him.
Right. I knew Bezin was allowed to do this, so I was...
Now, again, at this stage of the Gemara, right? So at this stage of the Gemara seems to say what?
That they can't be all Kamator for Sheva Altasa and some exceptions.
Well, so it's not clear, right? Is the Maskana of the Gemara that you can only be Oker Dabar Min HaTorah passively, and then there are these things that look like Akiris Dabar Min HaTorah, but they're actually different halachos, like Afkas Kedushin and Bezin Makin Shalom Min HaDin? Or is the answer that you can, under certain circumstances, even be Oker Min HaTorah, even by active,
yeah,
right, by active things, right, even actively. Okay. The second Gemara that now just keep all these questions in mind. Okay, right. I want to just set up the possibilities here, the parameters. The other Gemara that deals with this is the Gemara in Brachos Samach Gimel. Of Eis Lasos Lashem Heferu Sarasecha. And the Gemara brings two deos. Right? Should you read it? Go down three lines. Amarava. Hai Kram Me Rachel Seifa Midresh Umi Seifa Lid Rachel Darish Midresh. You can read this pasuk in both ways. Right? Me Rachel Seifa Midresh Eis Lasos Lashem. One is, it's time to act for God. Matam Mishum Heferu Sarasecha. Right? Because people are violating the Torah, so you have to act for God. But Misefa L'Reisha Midrash. You can also read the other way, which is Heferus Arasecha. We have violated your Torah. My Taima is Las Mishum Islas Lashem. We're allowed to violate the Torah because it's time to act for God. I mean, sometimes to act for God means to violate the Torah. And then the Gemara gives a few examples, which at first glance really don't sound like so radical. Like Hillel says, Tani Hillel Zakin Omer Bashar Machnisin Pazer Bashar Mfazin Kanes. Right? If people aren't teaching Torah, teach a lot of it. And if people are teaching too much Torah, hold it close to you. Right? They're being too generous with Torah, then don't. Right? Teaching the wrong people and
that's
the like.
Example of Eis Lasos. There's also no Isser here.
So then he says, and again, why should number eight slash Lashem Eferes Rasecha? And then the end, the Gemara says, look, two lines from the bottom. Darish bar kapara, izu parsha ktana shekol gufei Torah tluyin ba. What is the one pasuk that the entire Torah hangs on? Bechol derachecha da'ehu v'yasher achosecha. In all your ways know him. Afilu dvar aveira, even to perform an aveira. Right? Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. There you go. Good.
In Hillel's example of Eis Las, so there was no Isser.
Yeah, that's what you would say, except the Gemara says there's treatment of Avera. So presumably there is some sort of Avera-esque thing. How much in Avera? Good question.
Holding back
Torah, giving Torah to the right Talmud Chain Hagun. I mean, there are potential problems. Talmud Chain Hagun is also to teach Torah to.
Oh, right. what's the issue of holding back your Torah or teaching Torah?
I'm saying there might be an issue of not teaching Torah to people who want to learn. There might be an issue of teaching Torah to people who aren't Ra'ui. Right, there are all types of prohibitions that potentially float around here. Okay.
No, but those are different. Those aren't going against Torah based also, such as following the Torah because of the times.
What?
If it was an issue of teaching the Talmud who's not Ra'ui, that's not going against the Torah.
Okay. Now, let's go through some of these factors here, okay? The Gemara tells you that Kum Vase versus Shev Al Tase, Kum Vase is easier than Shev Al Tase. And we know that it's not clear.
Does it mean easier?
Right? Meaning it's easier to uproot the Torah, the Shev Al Tase, passively than actively. Right? Now, we noted that it's not totally clear whether that, right? We can formulate that in one of two ways. Right, either
that is like a
minute. It's not Akiris Dabra Minat Torah, right? Or
it is.
Or it's Akiris Dabra Minat Torah, which is Mutter. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you define Akiris Dabra Minat
Torah? What? Okay, so what would that mean, right?
I thought Akiris Dabra Minat Torah meant going against towards the Dera Isa.
Correct, that's exactly what it is. Going against
the Dera Isa. Sheva Al Tasa is that.
What?
No matter what, Sheva Al Tasa is that.
Okay, but we might not call it an Akira. It might be, okay, that's not called an Akira, that's just called...
They have to change the definition of Akira.
Meaning?
Well, he's built
so against Dera
Isa. You could say. So I gave you that... So Rebbe Chanan posted it, right? Rebbe Chanan posted it as follows. Look, Rebbe Chanan posits it this way, right? One way of looking at it is that it's not... Listen, Ellie.
Yeah.
One way of looking at it, this is the way Rashi and Tosfos really look at it, is that it's not Akira Sarva Minatara at all. Why isn't Akira's Dabra Minat Torah? Because Chazal didn't directly attack it. What did they do? They said, don't carry on Shabbos. Right? Right? Memela! Right, I mean,
Chazal weren't okay. It was just
or they said, right, don't...
Did it say, don't blow shofar on Shabbos? It said, don't...
Like, sort of. Like, it happens memela. Right? Like, they set up zero and, like, memela, you can't be... Like, something like that.
Didn't they say... Oh,
like isn't that example?
I mean, they really did say you can't do it, but the way we look at it is like, meaning they tell you don't do it. It's not like, maybe it's more memela. It's not like they didn't uproot it. They just told you to sit down, right? And the mitzvah will just sort of not happen, right?
That's uprooting the mitzvah.
Okay, but maybe when Chazal talking about an akira, no, they really said don't do it. But it could be that that's not called an akira. That's what Rashi and Tosfos say. That it happens sort of memela. They say don't do anything, and the mitzvah just doesn't happen.
They say don't blush over.
Now that's one way. Listen. The other possibility is to say no. Both of them are akirot. What the Gemara is saying is that Chazal have the strength to be okay or something in a passive way, but not in an active way. L'may nafkamina, right? That sounds like... L'may nafkamina. What's a nafkamina?
The other way.
But l'may nafkamina. There is a nafkamina, and then you'll understand, right, the two ways of looking at it. What's the nafkamina?
The passing it is over.
It's the law, but my support.
Thank you. What does that mean?
Like it's the Shaksari.
Yeah, good. What does that mean? I just gave you a summary of it because
you gotta look further in the
In Riftani Cohn's article. Great, but what is it? What's the difference?
Well, I mean,
the difference is a lav which is active, right? Which is it about the type of mitzvah it is, right? Meaning mitzvah versus lav. Right? Meaning, Chazal can tell you to not do a mitzvah. Right? Right? I mean, they can tell you to not do a mitzvah. Right? Not blush over that, right? But they can't tell you to violate, right? A lav or something like that.
Isn't that a cool
right? What?
Isn't that a cool which...
Or, I mean, is it about the way in which you are going to be violating the lav? Right, meaning it's, but is it about the action you are or not doing it, doing, or is it about the nature of the mitzvah that you're violating or not violating? Because sometimes it could be something which is a lav, right? Okay. Meaning which normally is violated in an active way, but in this particular situation you can manipulate it, right? That it'll be, right, passive. So, for example, right? What's the example Tosfos deals with? Levisha's shatnez, right? Meaning levisha's shatnez is ostensibly.
Oh, I mean, if they say to keep it on.
Right, like keep it on.
Yeah.
Right, to keep on shatnez, could they do that? It's a maisa, right?
Sure.
Right, it's a maisa.
Right.
It's just that you happen to now, you already have it on, so they're telling you to not violate it. Right? Right? I mean, you're allowed to continue violating it, right? Could they do something like that? Right? Is that called, right? Is that called shevi al ta'aseh? Because practically, right? Meaning, if you think that this is a statement that Chazal can tell you to be passive, because that's not called an akira. When you're passive, things just happen, right? So then they can even tell you to violate something which is, by definition, an active law. You just happen to be in a situation where you're already in the process, right, and can be passive, and it would continue, right?
Right.
So they'll tell you stay in bed, right, and keep the chatnez on, right? Or is this a question of chomer, right? What it's really saying is Chazal can have the power to uproot, to tell you don't be makayim and asay naniach.
Can learn both right? ways if it's a if it's there's a matir for being okamat Torah for shevi al ta'aseh. I can't say it goes either way. Still,
no, right? Because if it's about chomer, right? If it's about chomer, right? If it's
no,
about what?
Meaning if it's saying either said it's okamat Torah based on the type of meaning shevi al ta'aseh is much to be okamat Torah either based on the type of mitzvah or based on the ma'isa. Right, but it could still be matzah and okamat Torah.
No, meaning if you're saying that it's about that this is a kiddush okamat Torah, so what's the difference between shev al ta'aseh and kum va'aseh? The chomer ha'iser.
Okay, so the ma'aseh,
right?
Or the way it's brought about.
But why? Since when? Why is that? Why is one more machron than the other? Right? In terms of chomer ha'davar,
the other way also. Why is one?
No, because if you think it's just you can't be oker, you can just tell people not to do anything that's not called an akira. What's important there is active versus passive, not the nature of the iser. Right? If you're saying Chazal have X number, X amount of power, and certain types of isurim are within their purview to uproot, and certain aren't, then it doesn't matter the particular. Well,
why can't I say certain mices are within their purview?
Why? Give me a svara. Why?
Why can't I say the same thing on the? Well, give me a svara. Why the mitzvahs are different?
No, the fact that there's different chomer to isurim. Right, that's like saying.
No, there are because
we know they are. That's like saying, why is it that I'm allowed to violate 610 mitzvahs? No, Ellie, that's like saying. That's like saying why? No, Ellie, that's like saying why am I allowed to violate 610 mitzvahs for Yahrut Valyavur and not three others? Right, because the answer is those are more hamor. Right, those are
the past mitzvahs are also less hamor.
What?
For example, you don't get loke.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are.
No, it isn't.
You don't get loke.
No, chomer goes by. Yeah, but be'etzem. This isn't a question of malchus. This is a question of. Be Karon, what is the nature of the iser?
The big three. I was just showing this.
And by the way, what?
It's also a question on the big three of Eir, so just showing this.
But again, the.
It's not crazy to say passive mices are less.
I mean, I have. And by the way, and this happens to be. Look. It's true that some level violating this or passively, even if it's a normally active one, might be more makel. It's not totally true that. Clear that's true, right? Might not be true. Might be true. Might not be true.
Yeah, another enough mean as if. You have an option to passively violate a thing or actively violate a thing. It's just passive.
Well, that's always true.
Right.
That again, that may be because it's less chomer, but it could just be because one is active and one is not. Right. Meaning one is not called doing something. One is just letting it happen. Right. And that's
doesn't
right?
show that it's less.
Yeah, choliot, or it could just be that it's right. Remember,
well,
in the Gemara, it's not clear.
He's just saying that you could learn this.
I understand. You could. I think it's dachuk, right, to do that, to start, like, playing games with it that way. Right? I mean, I think the Shagasari is right, that Pashtus, this Machlokas Rishonim, right, about this, it hangs on this question.
So can we just get the two ways of formulating it is either law versus essay or passive versus
meaning, right,
passive.
Meaning, is it about...
What?
You said essay.
No!
I heard it. Right, meaning, is it really...
It's because it's a lava into glasses. It's not a lava into glasses.
Meaning, is it...
No!
Meaning, the question, again, the question really is, when the Gemara says, that Sheva al Tasa, they can be Okir Dabra Torah, is that because it is an Akir's Dabra Torah? Right? It is Akir's Dabra Torah. It's just that they're allowed to do that with certain types of mitzvahs.
In other words...
Passive. Well,
passive or essay?
Well, shevaltase, right?
So, okay, so passive. Doesn't matter if it's an essay or a law.
Well, so if you think it's just, right, if you think that shevaltase is not called an akira because it's just being passive, then yes, what matters is...
If you hold it's not an akira.
It's not an akira at all. Why? Because akira is only when I do something, not when I don't do something. So then it doesn't matter what iser is at hand. What matters is the way in which I'm violating it. Right?
Okay, so this is not an akira. According to that formulation, this is not an akira.
And that's the simplest, right? That's the way the Shakazari points out from Rashi and Tosos, right? That it's just, it's memela, and therefore it could be that you could have...
So it's not an akira, and the split would be passive versus active.
Correct. Correct.
The other way to formulate it is that it is an akira, and then the formulation would be that you could, they can only be akira, a certain kind of mitzvah, but not the other.
Correct. So. Correct. But it is an akira, right? It's called, it's halachically an akira,
right?
Okay, I mean, look, I understand you want to quibble on this formulation, right? But the basic question, right, is true, right? I mean, is it that Chazal are saying there? The basic question within the Gemara, meaning, is it true that the Gemara is saying lehalacha you can be okar davar min haTorah, right, or not? Right? Is it saying that you can't? Right?
Yeah, very confused. According to the side that says it's not okar min haTorah. What is okar min haTorah?
Okar min haTorah would be Chazal said you can violate an iser
actively.
Right? Telling you not to do something is nothing. Right? That's not called an akira. That's called...
That's not saying much. That's just... They argue what the words mean.
Yeah, but... You understand that...
Is the one definition of akira and Torah according to both of them? According to both the guys?
No. Right? Meaning they're taking very different understandings of what akira means. Right?
I know. So it's not like a... There's no difference between them at that
Well,
point.
There might be. Right.
I mean, they would agree, according to your definition of akira, I'd agree that would be true. I'm
well,
the words are different.
Let me throw out this nafkamina to you, okay? According to Limaskana, what happens, right, if you really, really need to be okar davar min haTorah, bekum va'ase?
According to both issues, you wouldn't be able to.
So, maybe.
Kum va'ase alav, you mean?
Kum va'ase. Right? So if you think that the maskana is, no, we don't paskin akira's davar min haTorah. Right? Shev al-Taz is just not that. Right? Then you would say... Meaning that when we... If you think when the Gemara says the reason you're allowed to be okar davar min haTorah b'shev al-Taz is because there's not really an akira, then you're going to have a hard time saying that that you could ever do it actively. Because what you're saying is Chazal don't really have the power to be okar davar min haTorah.
You also don't have the power to be...
Well, the other one, maybe not, because you'd say, right? Maybe under normal circumstances, normal extenuating circumstances, you're allowed to only uproot it passively. But under super extenuating circumstances, you could be uprooted even actively. Holyoke, right?
Okay, but there I don't see. I mean, you could also say.
Yeah, you could say it.
Also, vaday super certain circumstances.
Yeah, holy. Now, by the way, who says explicitly that you are allowed to? Who la halacha says that the maskana of the Gemara is that you're allowed to violate the Torah even bekum vase?
The Rambam.
No, I skipped. No, Tosfos. No, Tosfos. If you skip ahead to 8, Tosfos says.
It's definitely deep, right?
And you're really not going to like what I'm about to read. I'm just telling you, Ellie, you're not going to like this Tosfos, okay? Tosfos says, Tenech Midrash Bekaspa, number 8. Hacha loka amar kol de makadish adai de rabbanu makadish. V'chein perek beishama gavi uvda de dinarsh de kachek shiktana gudola v'god lav asa inish achrina v'chad v'mineg et amar resh tubos v'ashaleach. Mishum de hacha v'perek beishama l'kidish adai de rabbanan kidagamar. So he says the case here is where the guy actually wasn't Mekadesh Adai to the Rabbanan and he still uprooted his Kiddushin. How could you uproot someone's Kiddushin if they weren't Mekadesh Adai to the Rabbanan, whatever that means? Tosfos has an analysis that in a certain sugya, Chazal uprooted Kiddushin even when someone was Mekadesh Shalol Das Rabbanan. Don't ask who he did that. So they uproot his marriage.
Do they not need to be? Don't they not need to uproot his marriage because it's not a marriage at all?
No, it is a marriage. Tosfos is saying even something that is a marriage, Chazal sometimes uproot it actively, right? How are you allowed to do that? So just look what he says. Top, look at Vitzarech Lomar Disavar Hacha DeYesh Koch Biat Chacham Lakar Davar Min haTorah Kevin Dafkin Rabban LeKedushim Minei Avakav Lo Kedush Al Daitam. It must be that Chazal have the ability to uproot the Torah actively. Oh, actually, no, I didn't put the Tosfos that you would like even less than this. Tosfos in Yevamos says, that you can do it as long as it's a davar hadomeh. Meaning, as long as it looks like you're not doing it, it's okay. Like, you know, if it looks right, then you can do it even though it's... Yeah. Yes, Mati.
Wow. Oh, no.
Is this Kedushin? The test is not learning that it's a din in Hefker, Mezen, Hefker?
No. Right? Because that's what he says. This is not a case. Right? He's saying this is a case where Loki the Shadait the Rabbanan. Right? And they're... Right? Tozer is saying it's not that case. And therefore, Chazal can't just be mafker their money. So they have. It must be that this sheet that holds, you can be okay to have an but come vase.
I thought they said you need to die to the Durban.
Nope.
You get marriage at all.
Nope. Nope. He says that's normally anyone who gets married do it al dat derabanan. But Chazal says, let's say someone didn't. You can still uproot it if you really needed to using a kiris davar natura, but come vase. Right? This is Chazal's sheet in many places in Shas.
Where does he get this?
Oh, where does he get it from? You tell me where he gets it from.
The end of the Gemara?
The end of the Gemara, where the Gemara says...
All their tracks, all these...
Yeah, because what does the Gemara say at the end? You're right, under normal circumstances, we only say it by Sheva Altase. But there's another category called... Migdar Milsa. Right? Meaning, really, 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 if you need to... Okay! You can do whatever you want. Right?
What's the issue?
What do you mean, what's the issue? Tosu says that if absolutely necessary, you could be uproot the Torah even actively.
Everyone agrees to make your Milsa, you can't uproot it actively.
Well, no.
Gemara agrees to
this brings us to source number 4.
Not totally clear.
Pashuk Gemara seems that way, right?
Well, the Gemara does seem to see that at the end. The question is, what exactly is the status of that?
I find the question, what's Migdar Milsa, but it's not creating those votes.
Now, you're right. Now, Tosus in several places, like I said, says that this is okay as long as it's a davar hadomeh, right? Rav Shechter explains this as saying, well, yeah, if it's like, you know, davar hadomeh, so it's not really like a pirtsa. It's because it's like, you know, it doesn't look like a davar chadash, so it's okay. It's okay, it just looks right. It's okay.
What's like an example?
What?
What's an example?
He says it by Ger Katan. He says it by Ger Katan. Like, how do you have a case of a Ger Katan that, right... Like the whole sugya of Ger Katan, like how do we convert someone as a Katan, right, when he really can't get converted? So Tosfos in one place says, well, you know, we treat him as a Jew even though, like, we have the power to, like, magically against Halacha make him into a Jew and treat him as a Jew even though he's not, and that has all those implications, because, like, because it sort of looks like conversion, so it doesn't look like we're uprooting the Torah. It looks like we're just converting him, and, like, you know, it's okay. Yeah,
Meanwhile, it doesn't look like Akira.
That almost seems like the Pasha says you would be able to hike her. The only issue is that it
That it looks like really bad. Okay.
So the Rabbanon like wouldn't be hiker. It's almost a Rabbanon that they wouldn't be hiker.
Yeah. Now look, the Ritva has sort of a weird position. Look, the Ritva is sort of a weird position. If you go back to number 3 here, see where it says 3? I'm like going around a bit here.
Yeah.
In 3, but this was written as an outline. So right, the Ritva says, no, you can't be Oker Davar Minat Torah B'Kom Vaseh. Migdar Milsa is a different chalos. Okay. He says, Tosfos says, right, seems to say...
Chalos? You know what chalos means.
Yeah.
In this context.
So he says, Perish Rashi Zal Shani Hazem, Sh'asu Ken Lasos, Gedev Takana L'Chol Yisrael, Ki Bozeh Heshiva Me'avod Zara, right, V'chein L'Kaman She'u Prutzim Ba'arayos, Hashem Zalzim Shuiz Shabbos. He said they did get a Gedev Takana to stop them from Avodah Zarah, Arayos, whatever, Shabbos, Avob Almalo, V'yesha Pershu, Ela Migdar Milsa Shaini, Klomar, Del Olam Shaper Gamirinin Mina. Right, some people say we really do learn it from here, V'teretz Hachi, the Hasar Migdar Milsa L'Shah, Avol Lakar Davar Minat Torah L'Doros Lo. V'chein Hilchaz Hashev Al Taz, Bezen Okran Afil Lo Sasa Tzorach Shoh, Hefkar Mon L'Olam, Avol Lakar Lo Sasa L'Doros Ein Lam Rishus. Right? So,
do we know anybody disagrees with that?
No, so he makes it clearer in his tshuva, right? But what he says here is that, you know, maybe what it means is that you can't do it l'doros, but l'shah in a chanami, if really necessary, right? Migdar mils, it's a different chalos. Now, the implication is that sometimes a kiris... Now, what's he really saying? Right? What's he saying? Why is it different chalos? Because a kiris davar min haTorah, b'shev al tasa, you can do l'doros. Right? The Takana against Shofar is L'Doros. Right, so he's saying Migdar Milsa is a different Chalos. I mean, sometimes you can uproot the Torah actively, but it's not... Akir's Davar Minat Torah is Chazal of the power to uproot things passively, and therefore, even L'Doros, according to the Ritva. Migdar Milsa is an even more right? It's an even more extensive need, right? Even a more exaggerated, whatever, emergency situation. And therefore, you can invoke it, but...
It's not a Doris.
But you can't do it with Doris because it's so radical,
but
right?
As of right now, Tosis doesn't disagree with that, right?
No, Tosis is just the one that says in general, like, because I'll do it, right? The Ritva says, Akira's Davar Min HaTorah can never be active, right? What is it? That sometimes when push comes to shove, like, we pull in yet a different chalos, Migdar Milsa. Tosis says not true. The Dori Doros, you can do active Akira's Davar Min HaTorah.
And where does he say
Ger Katan. The entire institution of Ger Katan, according to one of the two Tosfosim, right, is that it's Akiris Davar Min HaTorah B'davar Adomeh. Right? Right? Yes, so Tosfos does disagree, because the Ritva says, this isn't normal Akiris Davar Min HaTorah, there's a regular Akiris Davar Min HaTorah, and then there's Migdar Milsa, which happens once at Palm Bay.
What's this over here, Cotton, though?
You're giving him Jewish status when he's not Jewish.
Does he have Jewish status, though?
Yes, according to Tosos, we magic him into Jewish status.
Like,
using Kiryas Arba Min HaTorah.
Let's say he's...
What do you mean? He's a Jew. You're treating him like a Jew, even though Midoraisa he shouldn't be.
The whole davar?
Yeah, the whole davar! Marriage! Everything! Hakol Mikol Kol! What? Everything!
A violent Shabbos saves life.
Everything, right? Let's call Dabar. We treat him as a Jew.
Absolutely.
Now, I'll be honest. I have never seen Rav Lichtenstein do this except for in this year, where normally Rav Lichtenstein like raised all the possibilities when he gave the sugya of Ger Katan. It's a machlokas two tosfos, and one in Ksubas Yud Aleph and one in Sanhedrin Samaches. His chakira was right tosfos, wrong tosfos, right tosfos, wrong tosfos. Right? It wasn't like this is impossible. Like he was just like this is like. This is like Michutz L'Machaneh. It's just not like... Because it is like insanely radical. Okay. I don't know if we'll get through all of this week. But okay, let's start talking about why any of this even makes sense. Okay? Why should any of this be true? Right? Why should it ever be true that you are allowed to be Yoker Davar Min HaTorah?
Was it just Pashat the Torah allowed to be Yoker Davar Min HaTorah?
What? But why should you be allowed to do it? Right? We only have a Pasuk for Navi.
Philosophy.
Right? Right? So, look. Okay. So the Rajba in one place, right, says that it's an extension from a love tishmon of a Navi. Okay? That's hard because a love tishmon is only by
a Navi.
But the benefit of the Rajba is that it at least gives us a pasuk. And a pasuk makes me more comfortable. Right? The Rambam says not that way. The Rambam says, why can you be Oker Davar Min HaTorah?
Svara.
Svara. Why? Right? If that's not radical for you, yeah. He says, why? He says...
Where are we?
Today? This is 2, the beginning of 2, 2a. It's an outline, so just, you know, follow. 2a.
Yeah. Yeah,
V'yesh lebezin lakar af dvarim elu lefisha af apishu katan merishonim. Right, so he's talking about Derabbanans, and he says that... he'll get back to Doraisas. You're allowed to uproot a Dirabanan, a Takana, even if it's not a case where you can formally undo it, meaning you're not a Bezdin Shagadol. Right, normally the halacha is to uproot something forever, you need to be a Takana, you need a Bezdin Shagadol. But he says, even if you're not, you can temporarily uproot it. Why? Shelo yuhu gzeros elu chamurin midivrei Torah atzma. Because you don't want it to be stronger than the Torah. Shafil divrei Torah, yesh lachol Bezdin lakro hara shara. Because you're Daraisa, you can uproot temporarily if necessary. Ketzad, and then he gives you all the examples. Bezin Shiro Lachazek Ados, Velas is Chak, the Shalom Yavro Amal de Retora, Makin Onchin Shlo Kedin. Abel ain't Govin Adover Ledoros, Velmer Shalacha Kachu.
We said Bezin is a Hajni, right? Not a Stam.
I don't know yet. We'll get to that. Okay. But he says Bezin, he does not mean the Sanhedrin Agadol Yoshua Shalim. He definitely does not mean that. He means a bezin. What? How big of a bezin? We'll see. There are poskim who think as small of a bezin of 3. Yes, you three of us right now. We're getting rid of. What? We'll see. God.
I'm in.
No. Chris Chavez is the first. He said, "V'cheinim ra lefisha levatal mitzvah zasei ol avra mitzvah lo zasei gidal hachzei rabim ladas." Right, if Bezdin says that we need to get rid of a mitzvah to, or an avera to bring people back to religion, Olahatzal Rabbim Yisrael to save Jews, Miyakashu B'zvar Machirim to sin in other things. Osin Lefimasha Tzricha Shah, we do whatever is necessary. Who made that argument? Correct. That's how they formulated it.
They can do it.
They did it as Kiruv. It was a kiru. That's what it's written.
You
that's written.
You can be iker the fact that it has to be.
That's what it says. It says. It says. Ariel, it says in the original tshuva that it's for kiruv.
But it's on lefisha.
I don't know if it was lefisha. Right. Wait. I know that certain parts of the conservative movement have now uprooted it. Have gone back on it. The Israeli branch officially has uprooted it. The uprooting of the uprooting.
So
correct. Now they say it's usher to drive on Shabbos.
Oh.
The Masorti movement in Israel.
I don't know.
They are mamish machmir. But so the Rambam says why. Right. So now the Rambam says why is it true? Why can you be okay drive on
Because they're just for general benefits.
He says kishem sharofe chotech yado oraglo shelze kidei sheyichya kulo. Just like a doctor sometimes has to amputate a limb to make the body live. So Chazal can tell you to violate something to save everybody. It's a svara. Where do we see the svara? You're allowed to violate. It's Cain, what Chazal said. Violate one Shabbos to keep other Shabbos's.
What's that case?
Well...
Is that
okay? So that's one of the Gemara's options for
life.
Yes. Now, the Radbaz is an interesting point, and he says that the Rambam is actually saying something extremely radical. Besides for just saying, yes, we know you can uproot the Torah because it makes sense. Besides for that, which is radical enough, and like I said, we're going to get back to the Rambam gets worse, but let's start with this. Rambam gets scarier, I should say. Right? The Radbaz says that what the Rambam is saying is actually quite extreme, because think about what the Gemara is saying, or the Rambam is saying. You can kill Reuven for what?
Can you save Reuven?
No, you can kill Reuven for violating Shabbos Midrabanan to save Shimon from violating Shabbos.
Jeez,
you lost me.
Right?
You killed Reuven, you said.
You killed Reuven.
Yeah.
But the Gemara says, they killed one person for violating this Derabanan on Shabbos.
Yeah.
To be Mechazek, the Shmir Shabbos of everybody else.
Oh,
right?
I understand.
So Radbaz says, wait a second, follow his mashal. Right? The mashal is, you can amputate a limb to save the body. Except, you're killing Reuven to save Shimon, and you're violating Ritzicha to save Shabbos.
Well, there's a lot of Shimons.
Right. Oh, in a Hanami. But what is the Radbaz points out? What is the Rambam telling you? This mashal, the logic only works if all of Klal Yisrael are connected and all of Torah is connected. Because I'm violating Ritzicha against Reuven to save the Shmir Shabbos of Shimon Levi and Yehuda. Right? But the Rambam's mashal is it's I'm cutting off Reuven's arm to save Reuven's life.
You can violate the big three, as they say. It's not a bizarre.
They killed.
Well, not right.
But again, they murdered. They put to death someone who didn't deserve death.
You think wrong.
What?
Why is so just a bizarre? You can't be.
Probably, possibly, maybe. Yacholiot.
What?
Right? Yacholiot.
Get to the chuvas.
Right. Also, I also don't know how a bizarre would ever help
chuvas on klal.
What are you talking about?
A bizarre worshipman of a bizarre would help the klal.
Ever heard of the midrashic understanding of Mordechai?
No.
You know I didn't.
Of course you did. Really? Really? Mordechai refused to bow down to Haman because he had an idol on his neck, and therefore all of Klal Yisrael was in danger. What are you talking about? Chazal literally...
That's not legendary. That's danger of death.
You just said... when could violating Abu Dazara save people? And I just said...
No, I don't mean the lies. I meant their halachic observance. Like the Shabbos case.
Oh, they're halachic observance. Okay, fine.
The Shabbos case.
Okay, fine.
Fine.
Sort of.
Well, you also you could.
Okay, but their lives. Their lives. You can't come up with a case. You're just not creative, right?
I mean, like, I don't think you need Akamina Tower for that. I mean, that's the big three.
It is.
It is. It's Ritzicha.
Maybe not.
Ritzicha. You're killing somebody. It's big three. Last I checked.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, and he gives a very mystical one. Is that there? Right, but the Rambam must be saying this, right? That the Mashal ineluctably tells you that all of their, or for the purpose of this, they're all locked. Right, all the mitzvahs are together, and all the people are together. Now the
what can you say?
The Torah's Nevi'im notes that there is a Gemara that does talk about this. of certain cases of chateik kidei sheyizkecha vercha, which is what I gave you from the Gemara in Erevin. I'm in Laman Beis, and I don't want to get into it too much.
Yeah, because you say the Rama, which is like a just a muscle.
No.
Doesn't work once you say that.
It doesn't work. It doesn't work. What you just think the Rambam is making up a mashal that makes no sense?
It doesn't make no sense.
No, it's totally illogical. The Rambam says,
you get rid of the arm because it helps the rest
the
of the
body. You're killing Reuven to protect Shimon Shmiras Shabbos.
The Shimons of the world.
Great. That assumes that the system is connected and the people are all connected in their Shmir of the system. Okay, I'm going to throw system at you enough. It sounds more rational. Like, I don't know what you want from my life.
Right? I don't know what you mean. Are you trying to say that...
Like, I feel like I'm back in Rambam.
No,
it's like, system. Oh, it don't make sense. Like,
are you saying that it helps the people?
It's like, it's not a magic word.
No, I'm just confused what you're saying. Is it that it helps the people?
You kill Reuven for violating Nisr Rabbanim Shabbos. You violate Ritzicha to protect the Shmir Shabbos of Shimon Levi and Yehuda.
Good.
The Radboz points out that to call that an amputation that saves the body assumes that all of Torah is connected such that you can violate Ritzicha to protect Shabbos.
Oh, right?
The Rambam says, calls that Chal of Shabbos Achas. Right? The Rambam calls murder to protect Shabbos equivalent to Chal of Shabbos Achas because they shish Shabbos
is Harbe. That's fine. You
right?
Torah is one thing?
And people are connected.
If you didn't say this, I would have said that.
No, and people have to be like a unified group.
Yeah, such that it is mutter.
They have to be unified and they're going to keep Shabbos more.
No, because you're killing Reuven. Reuven will not keep more Shabbos. He is dead.
I know, as long as
Reuven lives, Jews, people are body. Reuven
I know. I'm just saying, this is like a...
Reuven
like
has to be...
Not anything to me.
Oh my God.
I just don't know what a chiddush you say in here. Or what, like, difference there is.
Oh, for God's sake.
Well, I could defend it on me. I don't know like what anyone would have thought. You would have thought, like, Torah wasn't one system. I would have said Torah's one system if the Rambam didn't give this mashal.
I'm glad you said that. It's also true. Oh, God.
You might think that you can only violate Torah not the person, other people. You're just going to hurt them. You can hurt someone in particular.
Okay. Okay, guys, we have plenty more to do, so I think we're going to need another week on this.
Yes.
The question is, before we end, okay, we'll take a few more minutes here. Okay, I can do one of two things. I think we should do a little bit more. The question is, do you want to look at a few more sources for this, or do you want me to show you how radical the Rambam really is, and we'll finish the Rambam, and then we'll come back to some of the other pratim next week?
Let's go to the Rambam.
Yeah, that's what I thought you were going to say. Okay. Fine. Ha. Skip to the third page of the Mirna Buchim, okay?
Yeah.
Now, what is the fundamental assumption of the Rambam? Right, the Rambam gives a mashal, and what does he say? In order for Akir's Davar Min HaTorah to work, you have to think of Torah in what way?
Medicine.
Okay, hold that in mind. Okay, more nevuchim. Among the things that you likewise ought to know is that the Torah does not consider the isolated individual, and the command was not given with a view to the minority of cases. Okay, the Rambam tells you this is his rule in life. Torah is law. Law is for the whole world, and therefore it's good for most people at most times, but not for everybody at all times. Yeah. Like any other law. Right. Good. Rather, in everything that is desirable to accomplish, be it an outlook or a character trait or an action that is effective, only the things that are majority are considered, and no attention is paid to something that rarely occurs, nor to the damage that will occur in an individual human because of that decree in Torah governance. Fine. For the Torah is a divine thing, and therefore you can learn about it from natural things, where the general utilities found in them include and necessarily entail private damages, has been explained in our words and the words of others. Right? The Rambam says this, right? We like gravity. It's good for most people in most circumstances, except the person who was shoved off the building. Right? For that guy, gravity is a greater problem. Right?
Yeah.
But, bigadol, it's better for the world that there is gravity. Yes? Agreed?
Yeah.
Good.
On the basis of the distinction, you should not be astonished that the purposes of the Torah are not fulfilled in every individual. Rather, it follows necessarily that there will be people whom the Torah governance does not bring to perfection. And as the forms of natural species do not achieve all that necessarily follows from them in each individual member of the species. For everything comes from one deity, and one actor was given from one shepherd, and the reverse of this is impossible. And we've already explained that the impossible is a fixed nature that will never change. Right? Meaning, it is literally impossible for the Rambam for the Torah to be good for everybody at all times.
Yeah.
Some people, the Torah is counterproductive. Fine.
Why should they follow the Torah, these people?
Hold that thought. Hold it for when we get to the Rambam. I said he's going to be radical. You tell me. Why should they keep it?
For the system.
So one is the system. What's
care,
the what's the other answer?
I don't care about the system.
For okay,
the system.
No, no.
What's the other? They should not.
They didn't say that you also do a very less small.
Oh, good. Hold that thought.
Oh, it's right? an issue. It's
hold that thought. Hold it, hold it, hold it. Furthermore.
Listen.
Furthermore, on the basis of this distinction, it would not be proper for the commandments to be influenced by the changing conditions of human beings and the times, in the way that the preparation of medicines is influenced, with each preparation specific to each individual in accordance with his mixture of humors at the particular time, but rather is appropriate for Torah governance to be absolute and completely general, even though this will be negative for some people and not negative for others, for if it were according to the individual, there would be a loss for all, and you would give in your words by degrees, right? Nasata derecha l'shirin. For this reason, it is appropriate for matters in the Torah aimed at immediate purposes to be bounded by time or place, but rather the laws should be absolute and framed generally. As the Exalted said, the congregation, there shall be one stature for you, etc. And their intent is the general utilities which relate to majority, as we have explained.
Doesn't Shittibar Korbanos explicitly go against the Sorry.
Let's just trace the Rambam very carefully. Right? What does the Rambam specifically say Torah is not in this parak in Maravacham?
Changing, better, holding.
It's not
system.
Like medicine.
It's not like medicine. Right? Be very careful. Because what does the Rambam think is definitional to medicine?
It cares
about
individuals.
Right? Right? You don't come to say in someone and say, oh, amoxicillin is great for people. Penicillin is great for people. you're allergic to penicillin, it'll kill you. Listen, it works for most people, right? Right? You don't do that. That's not how you practice medicine, right? So the Rambam says medicine, by its definition, is
subject,
is individual oriented, right? Law is universal,
yeah.
Right? Wait a second.
I don't think it's a stira.
Wait, it's not a stira,
right?
It's worse than a stira,
no.
Right?
No.
Right?
I don't know it's worse than
it's not a stira. It's actually a very elegant philosophical explanation. Because think about it. According to the Rambam, right? We'll get back to the formalities of it. What is the fundamental rule of Akiras Davar Min HaTorah? Number one.
They could change it for...
Two words.
The masses.
Nope. Lifi...
Shaita.
Sha'a. Right, the tzorech hasha'ah, when necessary, right, but temporary. Why temporary? And we'll come back to it next week and I'll prove this.
Oh, the Torah is generally correct.
Because the law doesn't change. Right? The law doesn't change.
Yeah, you go. Built into the law is that you're allowed to change it first.
No, yeah. Wrong.
It is built into the law.
Yes and no. What is the Rambam saying? Law, I mean, the notion of law must be?
Universal.
For all, at all times, even when it's counterproductive. Why is Akira Davar Min HaTorah? Okay, Lifi Sha'a. And I'll prove this next week. Because what is it not? It's not changing the law. It's allowing you to
break
the law. Right? What would you not be allowed to do?
Take away halacha.
Change halacha forever. Mm-hmm. Because then you'd be treating halacha, the system, as medicine and not law. But why can it be Oker Davar Min HaTorah Lifi Sha'a? Because you're not claiming to change the law. You're claiming to...
You're being mocked or something.
Yes, right? You're allowing going against it. I mean, you're saying this is the law and I'm doing what's illegal. Right? There's a very subtle philosophical difference between saying this is now legal and saying it's illegal, but I'm doing it anyways. Right?
If you change the law, it wouldn't be a matzah anymore. It would just be a law.
Correct. And that would be usher, because then it would say that Torah is like, as a system, is like medicine, meaning it must change the fisha. But the Rambam is saying, why is there Akiras Davar Min HaTorah in the system? Because since Torah, I mean, the Rambam is actually hinting at a very profound philosophical idea, which is, since Torah is law, built into the system by definition is the inevitability that keeping the law under all circumstances will be counterproductive.
So there are exemptions. Bill.
And therefore, but be very careful, what's the exemption? It's not to say that this is mutter. It's to say... It's mutter to do which is us, that which is usser,
yeah,
right? Which is a very subtle philosophical difference.
Like,
It's like during wartime, the president has certain power.
Correct. But it's against the law.
Right?
Now, that's not so scary. Right? That's not so scary because, in the end of the day, what the Rambam is saying is, look, sometimes Sanhedrin or the Beis Din, whoever, the arbiters of the law can say, look, we've reached that point. So that is dangerous, but not so dangerous because we've limited it to the hands of Beis Din. The problem is, what is the logical conclusion from this that would be even more dangerous?
If you could somehow figure out...
Exactly. And the Rambam is the one who says...
Who says you can do a Ver Lishma?
Who says you can do a Ver Lishma? Because it would be very safe if the Rambam limited it to...
Beis Din.
To Beis Din, but he doesn't seem to. Because if you look in the next source, he says... Sorry, that's not what I wanted. I mean, that one's also part of it, right? Did I? Please don't let me put this one. Oh, come on. Did I really leave it out because I was so radical? I'm sorry. Okay, the other one is that the Rambam explicitly in the fifth parak of Shmona Prakim, I'll bring it next week, says, right, that what?
That you can do an Aver Lishma.
Correct. That you can do an Aver Lishma, right? He gives over this power to individuals.
Well, he wouldn't give over power.
It's not like
I mean, it's the natural result of this, correct. Right? But it's extremely, extremely dangerous. Now,
you
next week.
The average person thing that this is true.
You do not, right?
So we're just gonna
I don't have this in like laws of physics, dude.
What?
You can buy like this much. Wow, you look at Ariel.
Wow.
I've never heard him laugh so.
Right now, gravity is just atrocious.
You can't defy gravity.
Baruch Hashem, I'm just saying, Zev, we have just solved the great problem of the world. It's like, I have an idea. No, it's like, Zev, the next Paris conference for limiting emissions in the world to prevent global warming, I have a new solution. Instead of promising that we're going to minimize emissions, we're just going to vote on behalf of the world to suspend the laws of nature such that increasing emissions, we are just going to lower the temperature. We're by formal vote of all representatives of the world. I love this idea. It's mamish. It's perfect. We're just going to, I'm telling you, the next Paris Accords is just going to be everyone's going to vote. We as a global community vote that the world is not heating up. It is not happening. Right? And then we'll do. It's just, it's great. It's just not heating up. It's your eyes are lying to you. It is not, the world is not warmer. The world is cooler. Global emissions do not affect the world. It's just not a thing. Right? Oh, I like it. Okay, so Zev, here's your job. We'll continue next week. But what I want you to do is for the next Paris Accords, I want you to get a Sanhedrin Hagadol Hayoshev BeParis. Right? I want you to get together like all the greatest Gedolim in the world to come and to paskin that global warming is not happening. Just like paskin it. It just isn't a thing. Right? Oh. My God. See, the problem is, I joke about this. Elamai, there's Yerushalmi that is in the Hanami.
What?
I don't know.
Okay, this is the last thing I'll say. Yes, the Yerushalmi Paskins,
I hold it wrong.
That Chazal have the power to change nature. Right? And therefore, they have a story, and therefore they say, no, and they, Halach Lamaisa. And they say, therefore, based on a pasuk.
The Bezar and Arias, they did that.
No, that's when they killed the Yitzhara. The Gemara, the Yerushalmi has this. The Yerushalmi has this bizarre. Okay, I'll just end with this. The Yerushalmi has this bizarre Yerushalmi that says that there was a case of a woman who was raped when she was 3 years old, and Chazal Paskin that once a girl is three, the Basulim grow back. Don't grow back, but before three, they do. She's raped before three, she's considered Basula. If after three, she's not a Basula.
Right, okay.
Okay? Then the Yerushalmi says, what happened? The following case happened.
She was raped, they didn't grow back.
No. She was three during Adar, and then Chazal declared Adar Sheni, So she became not three. So they said her Basulim didn't grow back. And then they declared either Shani or her Basulim grew back. They said it's a Mitzius. They said how? Because Chazal control God, they Paskin and the nature, and nature agrees.
And then they say factually that it grew back?
Oh yeah. The Rajba, listen, the Rajba,
all right.
Then in Hilchos Nida, the Gemara says, has a category called Vesera Chodesh. Right, the halacha is that once a woman has established a pattern of Nida, so she has to be Shomeres on that day when you would predict her Nida cycle the next month. So some of them make sense. Right? Ona, right? So, for example, every 30 days, right? A woman has need every 30 days, so you have to be choshesh 30 days later. But the Gemara has a case called Vesach Chodesh. What's Vesach Chodesh? That she always becomes Nida on the 7th of the month. Mm-hmm. So the Rajba says, the Ramban says, first, Maza Bechal. The 7th of the month is sometimes 30 days later, sometimes 29 days later. Mm-hmm. Right? V'chi b'yarech tal yomilsa. Right? And you know what the Rajba says? Yes! There are women whose bodies are mamish attuned to the halachic chalois of Zion of the month because, and he quotes the Yerushalmi, because Chazal Paskin and they affect nature. QED, right? Zehu, Chazal do it. So,
that's crazy.
So Yacholi Yot Zeb is right. That's the problem to all. That's the solution to all our problems in life, right? Baruch Shekivein to one of the least understood.
Oh, no.
Okay, good. We'll continue this next week.